Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
This week, we talked about this wonderful transition that Christ's death brought for us and brought about. It ushered into our lives by giving us the Holy Spirit. And that's a powerful thing. And so our verse today, I want to kind of go back into that in John chapter 14, 15 through 18. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father. Now this is Jesus, and he's talking with his closest earthly followers and companions, his disciples, and they're having their last supper together. And this is part of the teaching. And yeah, I know if I am getting ready to leave somebody, I have some very important conversations. You know, if I'm going to see you every day and whatnot, that, you know, sometimes I just might be, you know, just talking this, that, and the other thing. But if I'm getting ready to leave, you know, on a long trip or something. I remember sometimes before I went on my mission trip to Cuba, I had a very, very long talk with my kids and my wife, and just, hey, look, here's some important things that you need to know, okay? Here's how you open it. If I'm gone, you know, jars don't get opened a whole lot. So, you know, here's some important things that you can kind of, I'm just kidding. Everybody's like, you sexist creep. No. So the deal is, gang, these are important statements. And so Jesus, knowing that there's this big transition that's about to come, he's having some important conversations. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How many of you love him? Okay. How many of you keep all his commandments? Okay. Well, then he kind of goes on and he tells us something really important. He says, and I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper. Okay, another helper to be with you for when? Forever. Forever. Still today. He has given us a helper, okay? He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus has offered us another helper to be with us eternally. I love verse 17. He's going to be the Spirit of truth, okay? Even the Spirit of truth. We don't have to figure things out on our own. We don't have to use your own noggin to figure out everything. The Spirit of truth has been given to us, is promised to us. So Jesus has died and he's resurrected and he's ascended into heaven, and he wants us to know that we're not alone. Now, during the pandemic, yeah, there's been an awful lot of suffering and death, and you know, it's certainly the media has kept that those figures and facts and whatnot out, and it's probably been very overstated in some ways. But I tell you, one of the biggest problems that we have faced in terms of pain globally is that people have been alone. How many people have felt? Over the past year, 2 years, you know, or since whenever the pandemic, so a year and a half, you've struggled at times feeling alone. You've struggled feeling separated. You've struggled feeling cut off. And I want you to know that when those things happen, it's very, very difficult. When people feel alone, and it's been troubling, you know, when you try to go to the nursing home, no, you can't visit people. And we've had all these restrictions and lockdowns. We've had to be separated. I'm especially mindful. I was talking with my wife, you know, who's a middle school teacher, and she's like, look, middle schoolers, their entire life is social interaction, and it's so difficult that people have been separated, and it's hard. We are created people. I mean, think about this. During creation, you know, all these things are good, all these things are good, all these things are good. And then all of a sudden we see this narrative that's interjected. It says, it is not good for man to be alone. Thus he'll make a helpmeet. Okay, gang? And so Jesus, understanding the condition of what happens to us when we feel alone. You know, an argument could be made in the story of Adam and Eve, how temptation came. Where is Adam? When we are alone, we are vulnerable. Have you ever heard the phrase, divide and conquer? Yeah. I've talked with marriages, with couples who've had troubles in their marriage, and a lot of times marriage comes when space enters into the relationship. And that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to get a wedge. He tries to get a separation. It's what happens in church and in church families. They try to divide and conquer. Instead of us having all of our conversations open and outward here, there's always, the great parking lot meetings that happen afterwards where people then, you know, look, gang, divide and conquer is a strategy of the enemy. And Jesus is letting us know that in terms of our connection with Him, we never have to be divided. We never, everybody say never, never have to be alone. We never have to be alone. And if Jesus has promised not to leave us alone and that He has got another helper for us, I have a question. Why do we embark on so many parts of our lives without His help? I don't know about you. But I like to turn to the Lord, but I'm going to be very honest with you, very transparent. I am guilty of many times turning to God after I have given up and I can't figure it out myself. Anybody else? It happens in our life. I tried to figure it out. I tried to do it in my own and I mess it all up and then turn to God. There's something inside of us, that independent nature. That's troubling. And to that, Jesus is letting us know that He's given us another helper. And here's the Greek word, parakletos. And it's a very interesting word. Parakletos, it means one who's called alongside. He's called alongside. Yesterday, we were doing some work in the admin building, and they're trying to pull some wire. And for some of it, you couldn't do it by yourself. You needed two people, and we needed three people. There's things we can't do on our own. And the good news in terms of being able to walk out the purpose that God has for us in this life, as we talked last week, the church was given a great commission. And then Jesus said, hey, hang out here until the promise of the Father, until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you're going to receive power. This word parakletos means one summoned to give assistance. Anybody in this room today need some help figuring life out on your own? I got good news for you. You don't have to do it on your own. There is one who's called. In fact, parakletos has the understanding of one who's called in a time of distress and even a legal advocate. You know you're in trouble when you got to call a lawyer, right? You know some life has gone maybe not a great way when you're like, I better not talk to you. I better talk to a lawyer first. Why? Because I've found I'm going to get myself in big trouble. Here's the great thing. We have a wonderful counselor. You ever thought about that? In courtroom, they say, counsel for the defense, counsel for the prosecutor. We have a wonderful counselor. When we try to do it on our own, we stumble and we fall. Agreed? We love Him, yes, and we want to do what He wants us to do, but at times we struggle. And why? Because we try to do it in our own strength, as Roger was talking about early today. We don't need to continue in this foolishness. And we have this struggle then in the process of us growing to trust in the promise that Jesus has given to us. The Holy Spirit is the answer whom God has poured out upon us through Jesus. Okay? So, my overarching thought today is this. We're not called to do life alone. We are not to do life alone. In medical news today, in August 28th, 2019, Maria Kohut reported on recent medical research that showed that people experience relief from pain when a loved one comes by. That's the importance of why it's important to visit people when they're sick, to visit people when they're distressed. Literally, pain diminishes. In fact, recent research has showed that when people are alone, they cannot tolerate as much pain, anguish, or stress as when they're not alone. When you are together, you are able to bear more than when you are not. People quit. People give up when they're alone. Now, we have just been in this massive pandemic where we have been alone. And what's really, really, you know, those church leaders, when we get together, that's why we're so frustrated that it seems like when church can't gather, when we can't connect, Satan goes haywire. He has a field day. That's the importance of us. That's why Scripture tells us not to forsake the gathering of the assembly. And sometimes that needs to be online. Sometimes we understand those things. But it's important for us to come together. Being a disciple now is tied to something even greater. John 15, 4 through 9. And here's our lifeblood. Here's our connection. Abide in me. This is Jesus talking here. Again, in this upper room discourse. Important final words. Abide in me. And I in you. Church, I got a question. Do you abide in him or do you just visit him? Do we abide in him or do we just have encounters? Do we just go to church? Do you just go to small group? Do you just go to Sunday school or are we abiding in him? And then he says, and I in you. And then he gives us this wonderful analogy. He lets us know that he kind of takes an idea. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do. And yet we constantly try. We constantly try. I constantly try. I remember thinking about this yesterday as we approached this daunting task of trying to get some things accomplished over there. And I was like, well, what's the importance? And we started thinking about, you know, we got to do this. And we have to have this laid out. And all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit said, the first thing, the most important thing you need to do right now is pray first. Pray first, not pray last. Verse 6, he said, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And as the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it'll be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Being a disciple is tied into abiding in him and the Holy Spirit in us. Remember, we defined a disciple last week, one who embraces the sacrifice of Jesus, who receives his teaching, who reflects and shows, who's filled with his Spirit, and who reflects the character and the nature of Jesus. We can't do it on our own. It is the work of the Holy Spirit through us. So in this context of abiding, I want you to understand something. We love this. We love this this chapter here in John 15 talking about a vine. Let's look at the context, because context is important. If we go the chapter before, John 14, guess what he's talking about? The Holy Spirit. If we go to John 16, guess what he's talking about? The Holy Spirit. So what do you think he's talking about in John 15? He's talking about walking in life in the Spirit. So, look at it like this. Paul talking about this. I love how he wraps up what we call 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul says these words. He's closing his letter. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father. And then, so these are kind of descriptor words of the entity. So he says, look, of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace. Of God the Father, love. And of the Holy Spirit, what's the word here that we understand? Fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the message, which is a paraphrased translation, and I don't do a whole ton of exegetical work in it, but I really like how it reads here because it kind of presses into this. It says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Eugene Peterson did some pretty cool work on that. And so for us today, just a couple quick thoughts about how to strengthen this fellowship with the Holy Spirit, this intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. And I've just used this word. We'll just kind of use this acrostic way. It'd be real simple. Today we're going to talk about the way. So I got three thoughts for us. W-A-Y. The first W is wait. Remember, Jesus said that they were to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. You could use want if you want. We have to have a desire. We have to wait for the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I love that it says that, but I want to be honest. I sometimes don't practice that. Sometimes what I do is I lean on my own understanding, and when that doesn't work, then I go trust in the Lord. Am I the only human being in this room who's guilty of doing that? I want to be better. And so there's an important, I love how it's laid out here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Because there are some things that God wants me to do that I don't want to do. That'll work out better for me. You ever have somebody who made you mad? Come on, Pike County. Anybody ever made you mad? Any ever hurt your feelings? Maybe they did something wrong, either intentional or unintentional. How many of you never wanted to forgive somebody that acted like a jerk? Yeah. You know, I got here. Are you ready? Counseling session is in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Well, I don't think I'll forgive them when they're sorry. Is that when Jesus forgave you? Well, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. Because it says that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I understand that we have to repent of our sins. I understand that we have to ask for forgiveness and understand. But we are called to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. And in terms of our relationships, this is what happens to marriages. This is what happens to sinks marriage. People act poorly towards their spouse because they see what their spouse did and they assume that that's fuel to the fire that they can be jerks. You don't enter marriage to get your own needs met. You enter a covenant with God. And we're called to serve and we're called to love one another. That's when I see marriages really start to struggle, is when it becomes self-centered and self-focused. Invite Christ into it in our relationship with God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. In other words, we need to hit the pause button on our fleshly mind, our old mind reactions. Anybody have some good old man that just gives you some bad advice? I had to relearn. Again, I told you, I never had to be taught to be a jerk. That came quite naturally. I never had to be taught to disobey. That came quite naturally. I was not a perfect little choir boy angel. I didn't come right out and, oh, Mom, I'm just perfect and wonderful. I know everyone thinks their kids are wonderful and perfect. I got news for you. They're not. They're not. Okay, gang? We gotta hit the pause button on our fleshly mind. Okay, that's an important thing. If we want to strengthen our fellowship with the Holy Spirit, there are times you have to recognize that there's a carnal man that's moving around and hit the pause button on that. Romans 8, 5 through 9. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. But those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. So God has given us the Spirit. We need to hit the pause button. Paul says it like this: I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Paul talks about warring with his flesh. He gives us understanding of it's like a battle. It's like a wrestle inside of him. He says in Romans 12:2, not to be conformed to the image of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So this is a daily wrestle. We all have a carnal side, a carnal mind, a carnal thing. You ever feel like you got, you know, the angel and the devil on your shoulder sitting there whispering thing? Anybody else have that? Do what's right. I have that every time I drive by a Krispy Kreme. I'm not going to lie. On. I really shouldn't. It's just one donut. It won't be just one donut. It'll be one dozen. And then I'll have to lie to my kids that I didn't go buy. No, okay, it's the whole thing. Guys, there's this thing that goes back and forth. Look, we understand the Holy Spirit has been given to us, so we have to wait on the Holy Spirit, which brings in with an A. Ask. That's where in Proverbs it says, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Look, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit. We need to ask for His open. Remember, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. So if we would ask for the Holy Spirit, John 16:7-8. Nevertheless, I tell you, it's to your advantage. This is Jesus talking about Him going. Go ahead and skip toward the next verse there. But next one. There you go. Click. There you go. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. In other words, Jesus is saying it's good that He goes away and that the Holy Spirit comes for us. He says, if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He's going to convict the world according to sin, to righteousness, and to judgment. Dropping down to verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He'll guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He'll declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, and He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said, He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. In other words, look, the Holy Spirit is this in wonderful, wonderful fellowship that we have with God that prompts us on the wills and the wants of God. It opens up God's Word to us. You ever had that experience where you get into Scripture and you read and you're like, what is this? Is this Chinese? I can't understand this. And then you pray, and there are times the Holy Spirit just unlocks and opens Scripture to us. Gang, the Holy Spirit is here for us, and we are to acknowledge. We're to take time to put the pause button on ourselves. Wait, wait, wait. Don't allow the carnal man to engage, but acknowledge God's Spirit. It's that filter. It's that pause. I got to tell you, He's there. He's there. How many of you have ever known what the right thing to do was and you still chose to do the wrong thing? Oh, I'm sorry. That's 10:30 service, not 8 o'clock. 10:30 service acts like that. What happened? We didn't wait on the Holy Spirit. We didn't acknowledge the counsel that He gives. Gang, it's important that we ask. A couple things for us on this thing. You know what? You choose what you hunger for. You choose what you're, you know that you're hungry. You direct and you understand that. I understand that we have cravings from time to time, but you choose what you hunger for. Things of the flesh or life in the Spirit. Here's another thing. Think about this. What you feed grows. What you feed grows. If you feed your anger, if you feed your mistrust, true confession. I have been off social media since the beginning of Lent. I stopped it. I haven't been on Twitter, haven't been on Instagram, haven't been. The only Facebook interactions I've had were when I have to post a message or respond to messages that come. So I apologize if I missed your birthday or if I didn't respond to something that you posted. I haven't watched it. And you know what? Life has been a lot better. I don't have Mark Zuckerberg telling me what I have to think. I don't have whoever Dorsey is. I don't have them manipulating my mind to what I can and what I can't and what I should and what I shouldn't think. I haven't watched news for quite a long time. I try to stay away from that. Why? Because it is all, as we talked about a few series ago, it is all so manipulated to keep everybody mad and divided. And here, the same thing has happened between us and God. I'm not saying to stick your head in the sand and not know anything. Know the manipulation that is going on, gang. Understand it. Understand it. What you hunger for or what you feed grows. I talk to people who are on diets and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they go by and they get fast food once and then it's wrecked, right? What you feed grows. If you feed your anger, if you feed your distrust, it grows. All right. So ask or acknowledge the Holy Spirit. And finally, So we have wait, we have ask, and the one where the rubber hits the road, yield to the Spirit's leading. What I've recognized is this: God is not silent. And the times you say, I need a word from God, I just need Him to say something to me now, I just want to give you an idea. Go back to the last thing He said. What are you doing with that? What are you doing with the last piece of counsel that God gave? Yield to the Spirit's leading. Romans 8:14. Let's all read this together. We're getting ready to wrap up the message. Band, you can go ahead and come back up. Ready? Let's read together, church. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Let's read that again. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Yield to the Spirit's leading. The Spirit is not silent. He's still moving. We have to wait for God's Spirit. We have to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and to give us counsel, to acknowledge the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And then the choice is ours. The choice is ours to obey. Do you want to feed the Spirit of God and feed the Spirit man? Because a lot of us, to be honest, we need to starve the old man. The reason many of us still struggle with sin or struggle with discipline is because we keep feeding it. Hello? You keep feeding it, and so it grows. I read this verse in Psalm 143, and I thought that this was a very, very a wonderful thing. Psalm 143, 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me on level ground. God has given us His Spirit. And I know that this is a paradox because it's freely given. And yet, and He is the strength that allows us to sustain. The Holy Spirit is what empowers us to reflect the image of God, to be obedient to His leading, to be empowered for ministry, and to be empowered to fulfill the Great Commission. It is through God's Spirit that we do this. And yet, it's a wrestle. It's a wrestle for us to continue to yield. You don't have to do it on yourself. The wrestle for us is to yield our lives to the Lordship of Christ. I know He's our Savior. And I'm praying that He will be more and more and more our Lord. That the entire ground. Let's all read Psalm 143:10 together as we close our service. Teach me to, actually, everybody stand to your feet and let's read this here. Stand to your feet today and let's kind of read this as our benediction from our message here today. Ready? Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me on level ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the empowerment that it brings to our lives. Thank you, Father, that you haven't just straddled us with the responsibility to try to figure our lives out, to try to figure out how we're going to fulfill the commission to which you've given the church. Thank you, God, that you've given all of us the ability to do these things through the Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us of times that we just take the wheel. We try to do it in our own strength. We know that that's a fool's errand, God. We know that we just can't do it on our own. But praise you, Father, that you never intended us to do just that. I pray, Father, that we would all just receive afresh and anew the empowerment, the counsel, the leading, the guiding of your Spirit as we make room in our lives. And God, those things that are in the way, Lord, we just lay them down at the altar today. And we just ask you to just overwhelm us with your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's children say, amen. You're not called to be alone. We're called to walk in the Spirit.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.